the ground spiral down and crash because of this. And this scientist invented a machine. It was called the artificial horizon. What this artificial horizon did, it set you on course with the earth and kept your wings level. But even after it was discovered, many pilots still depended on their feelings because they didn't trust the instrument. And what the Lord was speaking to me about, to speak to you about, is God has given us the instrument. And I want to use and illustrate a message out of the Old Testament with a mighty man, Isaac. So if you open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 27, we see in our, I'm going to go ahead and I normally just read a verse, but I want to read a few verses to you if it's okay to establish a foundation for what we're going to speak on today, so that we can all have understanding and follow it together. Are you with me? We're going to begin to read in Genesis 27, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father and felt him, and he said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. I would like to focus your attention this morning to verse number 21, for this message this morning. It says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." The title of this morning's message today is, "That Just Doesn't Make Sense." That just doesn't make sense. And I'm talking about our five senses, okay? And we're going to parallel this with the message we find in our text today, that Isaac was deceived by the disguise, he was deceived by the deception, and he was deceived by his own discernment. He was deceived by the disguise, he was deceived by the deception, and he was deceived by his own discernment. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration in God's house today? Can we say together, say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening. My ears are open, my heart is receptive to the preaching and teaching of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen." Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, I'm grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do in my life and in every life of every believer that's gathered here today. And Father God, we recognize that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a discerner of the thoughts of our hearts and the intents, Lord Jesus. So Father God, as your word penetrates us today, Father God, may it accomplish what you sent it to do. My prayer today, Lord, is to get Carl out of your way. Speak to this vessel today. Speak with clarity. Speak with understanding. And may we all be bettered by the hearing of the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor. For we gathered in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The first thing I saw and this is, you know, the Lord's been speaking to my heart. I think Jay spoke this morning and he talked about that he heard people when you ask them to do something, well, that's not my river. And I believe so many times we hear, well, I don't feel this or I don't feel that. I don't feel like I'm supposed to do this. And it's more than feelings. Amen. In other words, we got to get outside of ourselves and get into according to the word of God, because our feelings are going to mess us up. Our feelings are going to mess us up. You know, there's something that happens, and I'm not discouraging feelings because God gave them to us. They're a gift from God. I mean, he wanted us to have the gift of touch and sound and smell and taste and sight. He gave us these senses to use. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is so many times we are moved by our feelings and our feelings override God's word. And let me tell you something. If you have a feeling about something, you have a strong enough feeling, and you let that feeling lie, all of a sudden you'll define it by God's word. All of a sudden God said it. All right? But it's not necessarily God. And I want to just use this illustration that Isaac gave us and his son Esau and Jacob, because we're running the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Amen. We're running in that heritage as children of God. And God wants you to see what took place when senses were used versus what God says. Amen. So the first thing, he was deceived by disguise. You know, when I look at that, look with me in Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Just as Rebekah had Jacob disguise himself to deceive his father, the adversary comes in the same form. Sometimes he just looks like a sheep. I think one of the illustrations in one of the pictures, Amy usually gives me the PowerPoint pictures, and one of the PowerPoint pictures that she had was there was a flock of sheep, and in the midst of it there was a sheep, but he had a wolf's face. You know, that the word tells us, God tells us in his word, that when we're looking at the adversary, he always comes in three ways. Only three. He'll come in, one as a subtle serpent. He'll come in as a subtle serpent, as he did with Eve and the Garden of Eden, where he said, "Have God said?" Then we find Eve. What was Eve moved? She was moved by her senses. The sense of sight, she saw the fruit. It looked good. The sense of smell, it smelled good. The sense of taste, it tasted good. You know, and he comes into this line. He says, "Marvel not, because Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light even." But in this text today, and this scripture, when God gave us his word, in Ephesians, when he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, he said, what was the purpose of it? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried by every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. In other words, God has a blessing for Isaac, for Jacob, but God doesn't bless deception. God was not in the thing that Rebekah and Jacob was doing. You know, and we find that even in 2 Corinthians chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the word of God warns you and I. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Amen. So we find that he comes in as a subtle serpent. We find that he comes in as a roaring lion. And I don't know if you've ever watched any documentaries on TV on the jungle. When the lion's going after a prey, he didn't just come in roaring. He's sneaking up on the prey before he attacks. And the adversary, so many times we're looking for this loud noise, but by the time the Satan raises and opens up his big mouth, he already has us in his trap. You know, matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Paul writes, "And marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." In other words, he looks so close to the truth, but he really isn't the truth. It's almost the truth. It almost seems like the truth. And that's when I take that word and I twist that word out of context and I make it fit whatever I want to do. You know, Jesus in John 7, 24 says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Amen. In other words, we have to recognize that the adversary is always sneaky. You know, and when things start happening and they do not align with God's word, we recognize who the author is. God's word will not change. That's why he said, "Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does God tempt any man,
But when we're tempted, we're drawn away by with our own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death. You know, so what the Lord was saying to me, even as Rebekah had this plan to take the blessing from Esau because she had a favorite son. Hey, parents, we shouldn't have favorite children to begin with. Amen. But in the time, the eldest, we find in the story, if you've read the word, we find that Esau already sold his birthright to Jacob. Amen. And now all of a sudden it was a time for the blessing. And all of a sudden he's going to steal that too. Because once it was spoken, it couldn't be changed. God wants to say something. Be careful of what you say. Once it's spoken, it can't be changed. You've already formulated the words. You already sent the word out into the airways. Be careful what you speak. You see, once Isaac had passed the blessing on Jacob, even after he knew it was a mistake, he couldn't change it. He said, "Son, what am I going to do? I've already passed the blessing." In other words, he couldn't take that word back. He couldn't retrieve that word. He couldn't take it back. It was already out in the airways. It was already accomplishing something. And that's why God wants you and I to know something. Not only in the adversary that comes in with a disguise, but he wants you to know the power of your words. Come on now. God wants you to understand the power of your words. "Pastor, I really need this. I really need this." Well, God doesn't care about me. He ain't going to do that for me. Hello? "Well, I'm never going to get a job." Come on. "Oh, I'm never going to own a house." "Oh, I'm never going to be out of debt." All of a sudden, that you've already formed your goals in your life. Man, I see myself blessed, highly favored, walking in the favor of God. I look at myself as debt-free, walking in the anointing, walking in the power of God, being the head, not the tail, blessed going in, coming out. Amen. I'm not going to buy, I don't want to speak any debt. There's enough debt out there, man. We got to learn to speak some life. Amen. We need to speak life in our children. Guess what your children are listening to? They're listening to what you say. Hello? Hello? Amen. Hey, let me say something to you. If the word of God is true, and I surely believe it is, and Solomon said the power of life and death are in the tongue, they that love it eat the fruit thereof, that no matter what I sow, I'm going to reap. So in other words, if I have to be careful what I speak, because sometimes what I do is I speak into death and not into life. Amen. And you know, you say, "Well, Pastor, well, why do we want to talk about that? You know, we all say things, we all do things." Well, we got to learn to change the way we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth should speak. Not out of the abundance of your mind. Not what you are thinking, because most of the time when we get in trials and tribulations in lives, our thinking is stinking. And our thinking is stinking, then out come stinky words. But if my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speak." If God's not looking at the outward appearance, he's looking at my heart. So out of the issues of my heart comes life. And so when I'm allowing my heart to speak, we said, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I would like to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 to see
Amen. 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 When you were singing that song, just a question, did you know what you were singing? Yeah. You know, we want to look from our heart. Amen. We're not looking through our eyes because our eyes are deceiving. We're not looking what our senses say. We're looking according to the Word of God, because if I'm led by my senses, I'm going to get messed up. Amen. Yeah, I believe that we as children of God need to trust and believe God at His Word. See, not only was Isaac deceived by the disguise, he was deceived by their deception. They're blatant lies. And Genesis chapter 27, verse number 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. Lie. I have done according to thou as thou hast badest me. Lies. I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. Lie. Lie, lie, lie. You know, there's an old saying that says, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. What a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. And what I want to say here to you is the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. We know the scripture says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Okay? Okay, so we find that Rebekah says, cursed be me if he comes back and if Isaac learns. Now, all of a sudden, do you know what happened to Rebekah? When Jacob was chased away by Esau and left out of fear, Rebekah never got to see her son Jacob again. That was the last time that she saw Jacob, because she died before Jacob could ever come to see her again. Well, what happened to Jacob? Be not deceived. He went to run from Esau to Rebekah's brother. Sometimes things run in the family. And Laban. And he saw a beautiful woman named Rachel who he loved. And Laban said, work for me for 7 years and I'll give you a hand of Rachel. So we find that Jacob worked for 7 years. They brought her into the tent, and it was deceived by disguise. Leah was disguised as Rachel. And all of a sudden, that same seed that he sowed. Then he said, work for me another 7 years for Rachel. And he worked for another 7 years for Rachel. And then Laban deceived him. Same way that Jacob and Rebekah deceived Isaac. And he would not release. He gave her Rachel, but then they had to work and they couldn't leave. And it was 20 years that he labored before he could leave because of that false seed that he sowed. Because there was a seed that when he deceived his father, that he had, there was a seed in the ground and there was a harvest that came from that seed. Not only, it doesn't only stop there. When Jacob and Rachel are fleeing and they're leaving with all the cattle and everything running, and Laban comes after them because someone stole his idol worship, his idols. And we find that they search it and they search him and he didn't find it. But And Jacob said, curse to death be if anybody in our group stole those idols. He did not know that Rachel had taken them. And we find that Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. But not only that, there was a curse that came on Esau also. Esau went back to the tribe with Hagar and the Ishmaelites, and he was part of the Amalekites. So there was a battle between Israel and the Amalekites throughout time because of that seed of deception that was sowed. Amen. So many times if you study the Word of God and you go through and see what takes place, there's a harvest. You know, you think, well, I've got the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Yeah, but there was a curse that came on the individual because of the deception. You see, the same means that Rebekah and Jacob deceived Isaac is the same manner that Laban deceived them. It came right back on. You know the old saying, what goes around comes around? Hello? Why am I saying this? I think it's so important for us as the body of Christ to say what we mean and mean what we say. Amen? If you make a vow to do something, do it. Amen? And let me say you something. When God tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Don't cut corners to try to make it happen quicker. Hello? In other words, that's what they were doing. Jacob was going to be blessed anyway. Amen? They were going to be blessed anyway, but they were just trying to cut the corners. They were trying to speed up the process. Amen? So we find that in our text today that not only was Isaac deceived by disguise, he was deceived by deception, by lies, but not only that, Isaac was deceived by his own discernment. By his own discernment. And in Genesis 27, verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. Well, he heard it right then. The voice is Jacob's voice. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Well, you know what happened? Isaac smelled meat. That was the trump. He thought he smelled that venison that he loved to eat. All of a sudden, he knew it wasn't the voice of Esau. And the Bible says, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and as his brother's hands, so he blessed him. Jesus tells you and I, in John chapter 10, verse number 1, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And what the Lord was speaking to me about, it's important for you and I to discern the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. There's many voices that are out there. There's many sounds that are out there, but he's that still small voice within you. He's a still small voice that speaks within you. Very, very rarely will you ever hear the audible voice of God. Some people have, but most of the time it's that still small voice within. It's the Spirit of God that's speaking within you and I from the abundance of our heart. Because when we think that we're hearing outside, most of the time it's the deceiver. Almost sounds like him. It sounds close, but it really isn't him. And when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the story of the prophet Samuel when he was a little boy, and he was serving under Eli. And Eli was growing old, and his eyes were dim too, okay? But there was no open vision. There was no open vision because Eli had allowed his sons to do some vile things in the temple, and he wasn't correcting them. So God wasn't speaking to them. There was silence. And all of a sudden, Samuel in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, he's asleep, and he hears a voice that says, "Samuel." And he goes to Eli and said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." And Samuel went and laid back down, and he heard again a voice that said, "Samuel." And Samuel got up because he was a good servant and went to his master Eli and said, "Yeah, master, I'm here. Did you call me?" He said, "Go lay back down. I didn't call you." And it happened the third time. Now Eli discerned that the Lord wanted to speak to Samuel. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, let me just read that one verse and set a paraphrase in it. And verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." In other words, he did not yet know the voice of the Lord. But then all of a sudden, he hears the voice again. It says, "Samuel, Samuel." And he says, "Speak, for your servant heareth." Amen. And then the Lord started revealing things to him. And then the Lord started revealing more things to him. And as he walked through life, he walked through as a prophet of God, hearing the voice of God. Amen. And God wants you to understand something. Just as Jacob came and disguised himself as Esau and came and deceived himself that he was Esau and came, and even though Isaac heard the voice, he was moved by other senses of his body and he gave in to the sound as it was up from the Lord. But sometimes we have to beware. We have to beware. We have to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Well, how do you get to know someone's voice? You spend time with them. You know, the more time you spend with them, the more you understand his voice and hear his voice. And again, he will never go outside of his word. Never. Never. In other words, if it doesn't align with God's word, it's not him. It's not him. It's not him. You got so many people today, "Oh, I heard this new revelation." He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, I'm the first and the last." He isn't rewriting the word. There may be different methods that we use to reach the world for the kingdom of God, but the word always remains the same. The method may change, but the word will always be the same. Amen. He ain't going to change it. He said it right to begin with. He's God. Amen. So when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Again, what is the thought we're speaking about is being ruled by our senses. Ruled by our senses. Sometimes our senses are contrary to the word of God. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Now, I'm not calling anybody dull of hearing in the room. I'm saying the word of God says it, so I can read it. All right? Amen? The hearing we're talking about is what? The voice of the Lord. Amen? If I'm speaking, and I'm speaking according to the word of God, it's the voice of God. We're a vessels and conduit to be used for God's glory. You know, and when I add my two cents in, all right, then it's not necessarily God. It's the vessel. We all have flesh. But he says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. In other words, we're going to flow by the eyes of our heart and not by our five senses, though that we discern both good and evil. Amen? In other words, if it's coming in and it almost sounds like the truth, but it isn't the truth, it's not the truth. Right? So we find in our text, why are we saying this today? Because we are living in the last days. And in the last days, we find, according to God's word, the first thing that the adversary is doing all around the world, is dividing the body of Christ. He can only conquer if he divides. So his goal is to bring strife and division and to separate. Just as Isaac walked with the Lord, knew the Lord, he was deceived by the disguise of Jacob. He was deceived by the deceptive words. He heard his voice but did not recognize who it was. He recognized that it wasn't the voice of Esau. And I'm using Esau as a paraphrase saying the voice of God. And the Esau's voice wasn't the voice of God. But in this case, he was giving a blessing to Esau. And it was contrary to what God had said. Because it should have went that way. You know, it would have stopped a lot of battles and wars that they had. Not necessarily did the children of Israel have to go through all the things they went through. If they just believed God, they could have went to the promised land in 8 days. It was an 8-day journey that took 40 years, and that generation didn't even make it. You know, it wasn't a long journey. And they were the same thing. The adversary disguised himself. They were deceived, and they did not discern. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I as his children today? He said, hey, you know, it may not look right. It may not smell right. It may not taste right. It may not feel right. Be led by the instrument that's fail-safe. You know, we talked about the artificial horizon, the thing that keeps the plane wings level. And this is the instrument that keeps you and I walking levelly in this world. No matter what storm or test in life that we go through, when we flow according to this instrument, we can pass through it. But when we react with our senses, we get off of track. And all of a sudden, we start following our senses and not the Word of God. And God wants you to know today that He gave you senses. But your senses should never override His word. Because sometimes we talk about it when you ask somebody, well, I just don't feel that. You know, I've heard people say to me, well, Pastor, I was in church Sunday and I didn't feel the presence of God. I'd say, well, here, come over here, man. You stick your finger in here. Is that what you were expecting? Were you expecting some shock or some flow? Or were you gathered according to God's word where he says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am to be found. He didn't say, there, maybe I'll show up. He didn't say, maybe, perhaps I'll be there. He said, when you gather in my name, I'll be there. Amen. In other words, what God is saying to you and I, let's not let our senses limit what God wants to do. Amen? Let's not limit God by our senses. Let's believe God at His word that He'll do everything that He said He'd do. Amen? I believe in my heart today. I believe that we really give the adversary way too much space. I believe in each and every one, every man, every woman of God in the room should have a no-so mentality. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you hear the word of God and you act upon the word of God, that you'll walk in victory. Man, I'm a more than a conqueror. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when you're looking at this, I learned a new word when I was in Tulsa because I used to curse the church. You say, well, Pastor, how did you do that? Because I used to put a title on it. Now the title of Greatest Freedom Ministries is we're a growing ministry. I used to say small, which is a lie. And as I kept saying small, that's what it was. And I speak prophetically to each and every one of you that are in this room today. I call you mighty for the King of God, the kingdom of God. I call you walking in the fullness of God. I call you walking in His power and His might. I call you blessed. I call your finances taken care of. I call your health taken care of. I call your household one and walking in unity in the name of Jesus. I speak life into every last individual that's in this room. God has given us the power of life and death, and we have the authority. Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. And it's time for you and I to take some authority over those things instead of speaking into them and giving them the lordship of our life. You don't understand, Pastor. That's just the way I am. Lie. What do you mean? That's just the way I was. Come on. That's just the way I was. You know, when we were speaking into your daughter's life, we were speaking life. We were speaking into sickness. We were speaking into wholeness. We were speaking into healing. We were speaking into restoration. We were speaking into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In other words, let's not give in to the adversary's disguise. Let's not be deceived. Amen. Let's have Holy Ghost discernment. Can we all just stand together?